Jesus is very impressed by seeds. He talks a fair amount about seeds.
Why?
This is an apple. When I open this apple up, it's going to have at least 5 or 6 seeds in it. Each one of those seeds, properly planted, can become an apple tree. And a mature apple tree, how many apples does it produce? Between 150 and 300 apples on each tree. And how long does it do it? For 50 years on average. So each one of these several seeds contains the source of 7,500 to 15,000 apples. No wonder Jesus is impressed by seeds. And what he's telling us this morning is that the seed, God's word, has been planted in us, and it's designed to grow and deepen and develop. And what's so great about seeds is they are open to life. You could have a little gem the size of a seed. It would never be anything but what it is. But a seed grows and develops. And that is what our faith is designed to do. So people came up to Jesus, his own apostles, and said once, "Increase our faith." And Jesus talked about the importance of a faith, even if we experience it being as small as a mustard seed. A scripture scholar once showed me some mustard seeds in Jerusalem while we were at a bus stop, and they were immensely tiny little black seeds. Now, when Jesus talks to us this way, what is he saying? He is saying, don't discount the seed of faith that has been planted within you. It has more power than you realize. Even if you don't feel it, it's there. It makes a difference. Listen to something that St. Teresa of Avila, the great contemplative nun, she had visions, she had ecstasies. She became a great saint, but at one point in her life, this is what she said. "Oh God, I do not love you. I don't even want to love you. But I want to love you." There's such power in an honest prayer. I don't love you, but I want to love you. Reminds me of when I was in graduate school and I woke up one morning realizing I had no faith whatsoever. I didn't know if God existed. I didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. I didn't know what to think about the church. I just was not conscious of any faith whatsoever. But you know what I had? Not faith, but faith in faith. I trusted that faith would be a good thing to have, and I was open to it. That's different from having faith, but you know what? It's enough to carry us through difficult times. And in our world, so very, very secular, aggressively secular, there are many people who are hanging on to faith because they believe it's a good thing to have, even if they don't feel its power within them. And Jesus says, that's okay. That gets you through. In fact, God is always trying to help the seed of faith grow in your soul. Every day, the Lord is working in your life so that that seed grows and develops. And you never know how it's going to happen. I was reading this story recently in this wonderful periodical, which I like, called Guideposts. It's just stories. And it was a story about a fellow by the name of Robert Hansen. Very difficult personality. He was irascible, always getting into arguments, very impolite as a person. Went through 4 marriages. He couldn't sustain a relationship. He was just out of control as a person. But there's one thing in his life that actually was helpful to him. He scuba dove. And he said the only time he seemed to be a better version of himself was underwater. Well, how could the Lord use that? This is what happened. Once he was in California scuba diving, and he noticed a presence around him. And he looked, and 3 feet away was a 40-foot whale that could easily have killed him with the flick of the tail. And that whale, he said, was looking right into him and into his soul. It was a frightening experience, and he got out of that water very fast, and the whale just went peacefully off. But it shook him. And later on, going back to scuba diving, he looked and he saw this little tiny, tiny, what do they call them? Water horses or whatever they call them. A seahorse. He saw a seahorse. That seahorse was 110 miles past their range. It didn't belong there. He felt so protected of it. He just built a little kind of cave with sticks and stuff so the seahorse would be protected. And then he kept going back every day and looking at the seahorse. And then other seahorses joined him because apparently there was a warm stream of water coming 110 miles up, which it didn't usually do. It brought the seahorses. So he told some marine biologists, and they told the TV cameras, and after a while the TV cameras was there. He was doing interviews about the seahorses and how he found them and about the whale, and he was getting all of that attention that he craved so much in his life. And people were listening to him and looking forward to talking with him. And he just loved the limelight. But then one day he dove down again to see the horses, and they weren't there. And he was depressed by it. And so the next day he went and he looked into that little sort of dwelling he made for them, and they were there at the very inside of it. And he realized all that attention, all that media, scared the life out of his friends, the seahorses. And he realized they just wanted to be calm and left alone and to live their lives as God had designed them. And it had a profound effect on him. I struggled on land because I found it hard to admit that I wasn't so different from the seahorses after all. I too was loved by God because God made me and redeemed me. I could stop my lifelong search for validation. God's love was enough for the seahorses. It was enough for me. It changed his life. He said the restlessness, the insecurity with which he lived was simply gone from his life because the Lord touched his heart, reached the seat of faith with something as simple as a 4-inch seahorse. We never know how God is going to reach us and touch us and help us to grow. And there's a spiritual principle that St. Paul talks about in his first letter to the Corinthians, something we need to know as disciples of Jesus Christ. God chose those whom the world considers absurd to shame the wise. He singled out the weak of this world to shame the strong. He chose the world's low-born and despised, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who think they are something. In other words, little people, small things, they matter. God chooses the weak, the obscure, to make a difference in this world. And that's helpful for us to know. Now, to change just a bit, let me say that A few weeks ago, I preached a sermon called The Powers of Darkness in Rome. The Powers of Darkness in Rome. It's now a YouTube video, and people have started watching it. And in that, I talked about the scandal of Theodore McCarrick, who served as our archbishop, but who turned out to be a sexual predator and a man who bribed his way into office in the church, handing out packets of money in Rome. And so they did an investigation. Who knew he was a sexual predator? Whom did he pay off? Who protected him? Why did he rise in the church? There's a report, it names names. It's not being released in Rome. The powers of darkness have kept it from seeing the light, and the Catholic people need to demand its release. Now, I've thought about that for a few weeks, and I would say this, we need to challenge our bishops. Our bishops need to say to Rome, until that report is released, unabridged and unedited, not one single nickel will be sent to Rome from America. If they said that on Monday, on Tuesday, the report would be released. And then let the chips fall where they may. Our bishops need to prove that they are not just corporate executives sprinkled with a little bit of holy water, but they are disciples of Jesus Christ who have the courage to act as disciples. The Book of Wisdom says, in those who know God, timidity is rebuked. Well, let our bishops demonstrate to our Catholic people that they know God and bravely stand up to the powers of darkness in Rome, because we love this church and we demand that it have integrity. So, what do we get from this? That the seed is within us and it's powerful and it has courage. We should never compare it to other people saying, oh, they have more faith. Jesus says, just to be open to the love of God, the presence, the power, the providence of God in our life has unimaginable grace for us. And so we should leave this church both brave and thankful for the seed of faith the Lord has planted within us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.